I saw up here on the screen a flag for West Virginia, and there were about 40 of us that went there to a small city called Fairmont, West Virginia. It's about 4 hours west of here, and we had a pavilion. Pastor Hadley and Pastor Tom Smith put a program together, and we went into the town in the park. We had a pavilion where we met every day. We had one evening meeting. We invited people to come. Pastor Manny Harrison could sing that song by John Denver. What's the name of that song?
Country Road.
Country Road. Country Road. Yeah, West Virginia. And he sang it to a long line of people waiting for ice cream at an ice cream place out in the street. And wow, we had a lot of fun that night. And we met a pastor, and he had moved up from southern part of the state up because God had put it on his heart. And we said, tell us about this place. And he said, because we saw the people were so kind and so humble. I mean, they were sweet people. We enjoyed it so much. And then he said, yeah, but they are also disappointed with church life. They're hurting. He said 55% of the children in West Virginia are being raised by grandparents. And we said, why? He said, because of opioid addiction by fentanyl killing people, moms and dads, and abandoning kids. And he said he knows one grandmother who's raising 11 of her 28 grandchildren. So we were thinking, we're only a short ways from Baltimore, and this is a mission. And this morning I want to speak about being Spirit-filled. So we'll have a good service. We've got communion, and then we'll do the message. So I'd like just to say something very simple in principle from the Word. And it has to do with Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. Proverbs 1, verse 20, wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. Wisdom is out in the streets. Wisdom has a message. Wisdom, the gospel. We have something to say to people. Because by nature, we worry. By nature, we're afraid. By nature, we complain about our past, what happened to us. By nature, we easily go back to we look around in our life, and it's so easy to worry and be afraid and complain a lot. Complaining is very popular and very common in life, complaining about everything. Have you ever noticed the weather is beautiful? Oh, it's too hot out. It's raining. I hope it rains one day. We need rain. It rains, and oh, it's raining out. You know, oh, wow. It's like constant. It's the flesh. It's our sin nature. It's our gravity to the dust, you know. How easy to know and to complain about things. But wisdom is crying out and saying, hold it, hold it, hold it. And look at what wisdom does. She cries, and then she places, verse 21 of Concourse, the main place of communication in the openings of the gates. In the city, she utters her words, saying, We need churches. What kind of churches? Spirit-filled churches. I couldn't have been with a better group of people than I have been with the last couple days and I am with this morning with you guys. Here we are. And I got a phone call through the week from South Dakota, and they just had such an amazing time. They're all very encouraged. It was so good. The Arkansas trip with Pastor Ronaldo, I said, if you would do it all over again, would you do it the same? He goes, absolutely. It was. I said, ask the team. He said, I did. I asked the team, did you have a good time? They said it couldn't have been better, because the Spirit of God is what really determines for us what spirit are we of, right? What spirit do we live in? And so wisdom is crying out, verse 22, to the simple ones, the ones with the open. Remember what the word simple means, open. In the Hebrew, the root word open, open door, open mouth, open heart, open to everything. You simple ones, you receive whatever they say to you on TV. You have no filter. You are open. You're kind of a victim. You're subject to everything said, everything done, everything seen, and you can't shut it down. But when you are spirit-filled, you learn what's good. You learn what's wise. You learn how to have a filter. You're able to turn it off, walk away. You're able to move away, move on. You're able to leave the craziness and not pay any attention to it, because you found something. Look at what wisdom says. We'll finish. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof, meaning turn. Turn, can you turn? Turn to your neighbor and just say, can you turn? Will you learn to turn? Go ahead, turn. Turn, turn, turn. That's the song, right? I don't mean that. I don't even know about that. But listen, turn at my reproof. Let me correct you. Come on. Steer the car like turn. There's a disaster up ahead. Turn at my reproof. When I correct you, and this is the Spirit saying to us, I will lead you. I will instruct you. And two things he says here, verse 23, I will pour out my spirit unto you. And this is our message today. The Spirit of God, wisdom, pours out my spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto you. I will fill you with the Holy Spirit so you do not worry. I'll fill you with the Holy Spirit so you're not afraid. I'll fill you with thanksgiving and appreciation. The second thing he will do, I will make known my words unto you. I would like you to memorize those two things. Verse 23. Could you just take a minute at your seat and do it? Read it a few times. Say it to your person sitting next to you. I'll pour my spirit out. I will make my words known unto you. Yeah, could you put that verse back up on the screen? Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, those two things, do you see it? I will make my known my words unto you. I will pour my spirit unto you. When did that happen in the book of Acts, that verse? I really want you to kind of work on this. Because I know you're here, you're physically present, you're starting to listen to me. You're not quite there yet. You got to come on, work on it. Go ahead, talk about that verse, the last part of it. See it? The right there, go ahead. Where in the book of Acts did that happen? Anybody know? Acts chapter 2. What happened? Holy Spirit was poured out, and what did Peter say? He quoted 8 Old Testament Bible verses in Acts 2. That was his message. Do you know who was speaking? Wisdom was speaking. What did wisdom say to the Jewish people that crucified Christ? Turn, right there. Turn you at my reproof. What will the Holy Spirit do? I will pour my spirit unto you. I will give you my Old Testament. That's the word, right? I'll make my words known unto you. They'll come into you. Have you had the word of God come into your spirit and into your heart? And have you been corrected and led and directed so you're not like everybody else? You've been affected by governance of God. Isn't that good? Okay. Finish up. You got just one more minute. Then you know. You know, we went up to this mining camp up in the hills from the town, and a small village type of, and we were just knocking at nobody in the street. There weren't any people around. We went knocking on the doors, and I met this guy in his garage. I mean, he was sitting at the entryway, and I sat with him, and he ministered to me so much. This man, I just sat. I thought I was so precious. He just ministered to me, and he had the fear of God in him. And we talked about that, and then the neighbor that died of COVID, and she was a great woman, he said. She brought me to church, and it was so precious. And then I went over and knocked on that door, talked to the widower, had a word with him. But when I sat with that man, he goes, "Oh, God has blessed me so much. God has given me so much." And I felt like I'm with, like, these are the people. These are the people, you know, humble, loving, wise, very thankful, just simple, filled with thanksgiving. Precious experience and a ministry to my heart. I appreciated it so much. Beautiful. Okay, you may be seated. How many of you remember when you became a Christian that you had both, you had two feet in two different places, one foot in the church and one foot in the world? How many of you? Come on, be honest with me. Get the hands up. Get the hands up, okay. Well, if it didn't happen to you, then you were like a very blessed person. I assume you made it with both feet in the church, right? How did that happen? How do you get both feet in the church? How do you walk in the Spirit? How do you live in victory? How do you have things clear in your heart when our hearts are divided? Hosea 7:2, we read that our hearts are divided. Hosea 10:2, our hearts are like a silly dove in the book of Hosea. A silly dove, it seems that, you know, mourning doves, you know what doves are. These are related to the pigeon family. They fly low in short distances. Doves are like actually beautiful birds. But a silly dove going from that garage to that telephone pole, you know, back again, is a picture of how easy it is for me to live a life it's different from an eagle that is soaring. It's different from a higher altitude bird. It's different from the big picture kind of life. We should enjoy small things, but we enjoy the small things by being spirit-filled, by seeing the bigger things. And Jesus was very concerned in the Sermon on the Mount that the believers, he's saying believers, he's teaching believers, and he's very good at it. He's speaking to us about how we cannot let our lives be consumed by trivial things. We cannot let our lives be consumed by an argument that we have with somebody, by a jealousy that's in my heart, by the whole idea of money and clothing and food in Matthew chapter 6. So turn with me to Matthew 6, please, and we'll use this text and speak about the Spirit filling us and changing our lives. Chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What? Take no thought for your life. What? Take no thought for my life? Are you kidding? I live every day thinking about my life. Every day I'm managing my life. Every day I'm thinking about my life. Take no thought for your life. How do I do that? Being Spirit-filled. Now let me read this piece to you. And if you have any idea of what the world was like in the first century, this will resonate with you. The religion of Christ must have come from heaven, or it never could have prospered and spread over the earth as it has done. It is vain for infidels to attempt to answer this argument. It cannot be answered. A religion which did not flatter the rich, the great, and the learned. A religion which offered no license to the carnal inclinations of man's heart. A religion whose first teachers were poor fishermen without wealth, rank, or power. Such a religion could never have turned the world upside down if it had not been of God. Look at the Roman emperors, the heathen priests, with their splendid temples on the one side. Look at a few unlearned working men with the gospel on the other. Were there ever two parties so unequally matched? Yet the weak proved strong, and the strong proved weak. Heathenism fell, and Christianity took its place. Christianity must be of God. Yes, but what do you mean, Christianity? Spirit-filled Christianity. People filled with the Spirit. Not one foot in the church and one foot in the world. No. People that didn't worry about their life. They didn't worry about their life. They took no thought for their life. They were Spirit-filled people. They were loving. You have a heathen temple that could hold 4,000 people. You've seen it maybe on your iPhone. You can Google it, these incredible temples and the size of the footprint of them and the columns. You know, it was incredible. The temple of Artemis and Diana and so on. Powerful, huge, popular, everything you want. The lust of your sex drive, everything you wanted is all there for you. Everything, it's all your gods, your temples, all in the flesh. On the other side, a handful of Spirit-filled disciples having a meeting, talking about Jesus. Somebody listens. The Spirit moves. They are so satisfied. They are so filled with the Spirit. They are so encouraged. They start to read the Word of God. It goes in their heart. They walk by faith, and they are free. Now they go to work. They go to work. Why are you? What's up with you? Why? Or the 1 year later, what's going on with you? Don't you go to the temple? No, I don't go to the temple. I actually am a temple. I am a temple of the living God, and He fills me with the Spirit. And I am satisfied, but aren't you? And the conversation goes on. So I want to speak about this. I want you to read it from here, verse Matthew 6, 25 to the end, and make a few comments and encourage you. I want to encourage you. I got to tell you something. The church has to have a message to tell the believer to knock it off. Stop it. Don't do that anymore. Turn to God. He will pour His Spirit out and make His Word known unto you. I got to tell you, we were in West Virginia. The pastor said, the people are hurting. People are hurting, and they need Christ. That the church, sometimes it's a disappointment. And I would say in the city of Baltimore, yeah, I would say it's very similar here. We might meet people, you say the word church, they are not interested. They say, "Would it for me, that's about money and a program and so on." And that's a sad commentary, and I understand it. But I want to encourage them. You've got to have a fellowship where there is a Spirit filling that's happening in our hearts. It happened in the book of Acts. It changed things. Acts 4. Verse 8, verse 31. Acts 6, Stephen and the deacons, the apostles, gave themselves to the word and prayer. They loved it. They loved the prayer. They loved the word. The Spirit was moving, and the church is growing, and the teaching is happening, and the joy is there, and the care about other people. And the connection with other people. I want to go to a church that is not shut down. I want to go to a church where there's not a rainbow flag out front, where they're cursing and angry about politics and angry about this and that and talking about the current events as if that's the message. Current events is not the message. The Spirit of God has something to say to us that transcends the world we live in, comforts us, encourages us, fills us, makes us thankful, and then we don't worry. We don't worry. Are you worried? No, you got to be Spirit-filled. Are you angry? No, you got to be Spirit-filled. Are you cursing people under your breath, like me sometimes? No. You got to be Spirit-filled. I get corrected. I am corrected. Are you Spirit-filled every day? Are you Spirit-filled all the time? What's the answer to that? No, I'm not. Sometimes I'm in the flesh. But do you know when you are in the flesh that you are in the flesh, and do you do something about it? Or do you hate somebody and keep hating them and keep hating them and keep hating them? Or how do you live? Okay, yeah, come on. I mean, I don't want you to feel condemned. I want to talk to you. I want to help you. I want you to think with me about it because this is how we overcome. This is how people are drawn to the fellowship. This is what happens. Now, another thing is the Spirit of grace. It's a Spirit of forgiveness. It's a Spirit of I love you. I forgive you. It's the Spirit of a future. It's not parked in the past complaining. It's about God in the present showing us the way and leading us. So let's go to the verse. It's verse 25. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So maybe there's a spectrum of care, 1 to 10. And Jesus is saying, there are people that are over at 10. They care so much about what they eat and what they put on. It's their constant occupation. It's their life. It's all about that. What they eat, what they put on, what job they have, that's all that they have in their minds, all that they talk about. And the Lord is, the Lord God Almighty could say, hey, wait a minute, I am here. I am God. I gave you another day to live. Why do you ever think of me? Do you ever thank me? Do you know who I am? Do you trust in me? When something's taken away from you, what do you have left? Do you have me? When the COVID came and that and our lives were changed somehow and something's taken away, what do you have? Right? We have the Spirit filling us. We have the Word of God as food. Like Job said in Job 23, verse 12. We have each other in the faith. Well, we can't meet. Well, we can call. Well, we can't meet. Well, we can Zoom meeting. Well, we can talk. We can talk over the backyard fence or in the front yard like we love each other. How can you not? How could you, if your son came to the train station, wouldn't you go to the train station to say hello, even if you're on the other side? We had some Indians in India where one of our pastors was passing on the train through the 3 o'clock in the morning. He's passing through the village, and the Greater Grace Village people came out just to wave as the train passed by. They made every effort. Jesus is buried, and the stone is over the tomb, and as they are going, they go, hey, how are we going to move the stone? I don't know. Let's keep going. We're going to go. Love. Spirit filling. Spirit filling, we find a way. Spirit filling is not worried. We're not worried. Go to the verse with me, please. Verse 27, 26. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much better than they? The birds are fed. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? By just thinking, I'm short. If I could think enough about it, I'll get taller. I'll think about getting taller. If I think long enough and hard about it, I'll get tall. No, he's saying no. Which of you could do that? You can't do that. But you're thinking about the wrong thing. You're worried about the wrong thing. You're troubled by the wrong thing. Your focus is on the wrong thing. You haven't given your life to Christ. And day by day, we give our life in a fresh way to Christ and say, fill me with your Spirit today, in Luke 10:13. I'm going to move on. It says three things about it. Quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit, and then walk by faith. Walk by faith in obedience. Walk by faith in what he's saying. Give me your heart. I'll pour my Spirit out. I'll make my word known unto you. You'll have victory, peace, and joy in your life. So that's what this is about. In finishing here, it says, verse 28, why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. We might have nice clothes. I mean, that's not a bad thing. But how much time, how much of it is in your heart? Is it because of an emptiness? Is it because, you know, you're kind of bored in life? You're looking and fishing for things to make you happy or satisfy you. Or you're worried about things so much. And so this is the message. Be filled with the Spirit. Then you get real, real loose and easy, very relaxed and worshipful. And you find again, Jesus, and the message, and the love, and the faith. And you're not a scorner. I'm going to close with this word, scorner. Let's see if I can get that up there. Which one is it? This one? Oh, no. Okay. I'm lost. Scorner. I have a definition here for it in my paper. It properly primitive root to make mouths at, to scoff, make a mock, mocker, scorner, teacher, a teacher. A scorner. I don't know if you've met them. I'm sure you have. It's a terrible pattern of life for people. They're always... thank you. Thanks a lot. They're always, like, somehow mocking. Scorner. They could take a text like this. Yeah, sure. I lived like that one time. What did I get? Nothing. Yeah, sure. I suppose you don't care about your job? I suppose you don't care about what you're eating and living and your clothing? Come on. Are you kidding me? Yeah, you care. See, they don't get it. They can be scorners about... I think in our country we have scorners that are making a mockery of our country. They're saying our country is essentially wrong. Like, how can you say that? What do you know? How can you make a judgment? How can you make an evaluation on 330 million people presently and our past? We never said we're perfect, but we can say we have good intentions. Have you seen anything good come out of America? Have you seen anything good that we have done? Have you heard anything or seen anything? But there are scorners that make a mockery of our country. They make a mockery of you. They can make a mockery of Christ. They can make a mockery of the church. Ha, the church. Nothing but, and so they go on. But it says, reprove not a mocker or a scorner. Rebuke not a scorner, lest he hate you. It's Proverbs 9, verse 8. But I want to approach a scorner a different way. And it is, let him scorn, let him mock. That has very little to do with me. I'm not going to live in that world. I want to build. I want to love. I want to forgive. I want to be Spirit-filled. I want to take up the cross. I want to encourage. I want to find a way in the desert, bring water to the desert, right? I want to bring the gospel to the lost. I want to find a solution for our problems. I want to love my neighbor. I want to do good to my neighbor just as I would like them to do good to me. When do you hear that on the street? Love your neighbor as yourself. I was talking with a man. He said, I'm going to sue this person. I said, would you like to be sued? No, I don't want to be sued. Then why are you not loving him as you love yourself? Why don't you forget it? Why don't you kind of care about him? Why don't you invest? Why don't you reach out to him? How are you? What are we? We are spirit-filled Christians. We're not scorners. I am not saying there wouldn't be a place for a lawsuit. I know that's a very common thing in our country. On the other hand, there should be a lot of room in my heart for forgiveness. As I have been forgiven, I should forgive as I have been forgiven. I should love as I have been loved. For God is in heaven, and we are on the earth. And we are to live this way. Okay, verse 20, where did we end? 29, 28, why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O ye of little faith? I love. You know what? When I was in the garage with that gentleman, just a simple man, and we were talking, I was like thinking a lot about God, how God takes care of us, how God rewards us, how God helps us. Now, I don't care about how the world is living, what they are doing and saying, their messages, you know, suing, being angry, how wrong things are, the past, all that stuff. Oh, no. Today, the sun is shining. We got a glass of water. We can drink a glass of water. Thank you, God. I've got a friend, a brother, a sister. We have a future. Oh, God. We have maybe we have a family member who's alive still. Thank you, God. And maybe a few of them. How much we have. We have a church. We have a message. We have the living Christ. We have the Spirit filling us. And the Spirit teaching us how to think, how to talk, how to live, how to forgive, how to pray, how to go on, how to minister, and how to reach people that are empty and hurting very much. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God, didn't he? In verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you see that? Somehow, if I am spirit-filled, all these things are going to be, I'm going to be okay. I might not have life the way I would like it to be, but I'm spirit-filled, and so I have life the way I really actually want it to be. I'm spirit-filled. I don't hate anybody. My blood pressure is okay. I got a life I'm living. I mean, I don't have any ulcers. I'm not worried. I got some joy in my heart. I got people around me. Why do you have all that? I'm spirit-filled. Not all the time. I have my sin nature, and I gravitate to the dirt. But I found a way of living, and that's called the spirit-filled life. How'd you get it? I learned it by God. I trusted God. I went to a church where they teach it. I found out I need to take up the cross and leave my flesh, let it go, and not pay any attention to it, and live by faith and seek him, and we will find him, and ask of him, and he will give it to us. How'd you get it? How did you get carefree, joyful, thankful? You got friends around. People like to be with you because I'm spirit-filled. Who gets the glory for that? He did it. He does it. He did it, and he does it. You might say, how can I get it? I would say to you, lovingly, just keep coming. Keep believing. Apply yourself in faith. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't be cursing and being angry. Let God deal with the jealousy in your heart, the fear in your life. Cast it all, put it on him, and ask him. If you ask him for bread, he will not give you a stone. If you ask God to give you this filling of the Spirit, He will give it to you. He's very eager and loving and desiring for that to happen in our heart and in our life. And stop it. Stop your scorning. Stop the mocking. Stop the negativity. Repent. You are in sin if that's your habit of life and way of living. And knock it off and stop it. And be Spirit-filled. Your drugs will go away. Your fears will go away. Your anxiety will go away. You'll become, instead of a sour, angry, nasty, bitter little person, you'll be a Spirit-filled, gracious, loving, ministering in a certain way, in a very simple way, right from your heart. You'll have love in your life. That's the way to live. Amen. Lord, thank you for the grace that makes this possible. You would never be filling us with your Spirit except for the blood of Christ, who made it possible for us to be justified and accepted by you. And you indwell us. And now, being indwelt by your Spirit, we decide for you, and you say, this is how I want you to think, and I will make it happen. Trust me. And that's how we want to live, Lord. In Jesus' name. If you're not a believer, come to Jesus today. Come to Christ by faith and say, Jesus Christ, I trust you. And fill me with your Spirit. And satisfy me in my heart. In your name, I pray. Amen.